It is going well. Sorry, I'm just trying to finish up a couple things. Sorry.
No, I was trying to get a cat off me.
Been there. You heard what happened last time with that. So I have a protein shake every morning, and the cat knocked it off the table, and it splattered all over the ground and onto my walls.
Oh, yeah. That's not good.
I mean, it was fine. It was just so annoying. And he was already being annoying. So I was just like, so pissed off. So upset. So much anger. So much anger.
I would have some anger at that situation as well. Cats are assholes.
They can be assholes. They're actually very loving, but they're just annoying. They're annoying, and the world is all about them.
That's what makes them assholes, is like they can be so great and comforting and fine and be, you know, awesome for like 3 days in a row, and then just one day they're like, hey, guess what? What? That thing
guess
that
what
you
today
like
is?
A lot? I just kicked it off the shelf.
Yeah.
But why?
Well, the thing is, he didn't kick it off the shelf necessarily. Like, he didn't like do the cat thing where he knocks it off. He just like bumped into it because he's a bigger cat. He's like 14 pounds, and he doesn't like have any spatial awareness. He's kind of like a dog.
I was gonna say I got a near 50 pound one of those.
Yeah, he's basically the way he acts. He's almost like a dog. He needs a ridiculous amount of attention. So,
Well, anyways, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Animal Talk at LRM on... No, welcome to LR Mornings today with Kyle and...
Jemmer. So, there is an interesting... I don't want to call it rumor, but it's like a trend, supposedly, about how people are accidentally ordering the Xbox One X instead of the Xbox Series X. that apparently sales for the Xbox One X have gone up 747%. And as funny as that is, looking into it, it's not entirely clear how true that is, since the Xbox One X is actually a discontinued system. So I was just thinking about that. That's worth mentioning just because it seemed like, oh, that's funny. That sucks for people. But no, it's... I'm not sure how many of them, like, yeah, I'm sure there are some people who had problems with that, but it doesn't seem like, because it was a discontinued system, it couldn't have been that many systems, you know? Because it basically, if they sold, like, one, and it went up to, like, six, yeah, I guess that's a lot, but it's not nearly as much as the 740% increase would make you think. Have you been looking at those videos where they show how freaking big the PS5 is going to be?
Yeah.
That's a big, big boy. Boy with an I. Because that shit is...
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything. It's something the kids say. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, this thing, let's see if I can actually look up the size of it. Because it is, I think, the biggest system ever to date. And let's see here. This is an article from The Verge. And on it, they say, confirmed, PS5 is the biggest game console in, well, it says modern history, so that's unhelpful. So it is approximately 14.5 inches tall. That's standing up. 10.24 inches deep. And then 4.09 inches wide. And... significantly bigger than all of the Xboxes, or excuse me, both of the Xboxes, the Series X and the Series S. And it's a big one. It's huge. I don't know. How do you feel about the size of it? Because I'm not sure how your setup is at home, and I'm assuming you're planning on getting one pretty close.
Someone I was listening to online, said that when he got his hands on the PS5 itself, he really felt like Sony was like, look, we know you guys like your lay down stuff, but this needs to be standing up, almost like they're forcing it on people. I've got space and plenty of airspace around a shelf where I can lay it horizontally. Mm-hmm. So I can't fit a thing like that.
Who has that much vertical space?
Well, yeah, I was gonna say as like hopefully it comes with, you know, long enough cords, or you know, I could buy a 8 or 10, 12 foot HDMI cord versus the like 4, 5, 6 foot whatever fucking thing the system comes with. You could buy longer cords and like there's some space off to the side. I could build a little wooden stand or something.
Yeah, that seems super ghetto.
You know, but it'll be horizontal. They show that it can on that base thing. So that's how mine's gonna go.
Yeah,
when I get it eventually.
It's funny because I thought the PS4 was pretty big, personally, the original. And I get the PS3 was pretty big too, actually. I think the PS3 is bigger, if I'm not mistaken. The one that looked like a grill with the Spider-Man Batter logo on it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. Well, I'm not going to get it right away. So it's just crazy. If you look at all like the lineups that they have online, like if you just Google PlayStation 5 size, you can see the lineup alongside all of pretty much all the other consoles in recent history. And it's night and day. Like it's bigger than the original Xbox. That's crazy. That is insane. The thing is huge, man. But yeah, it's, you know, I'm hoping it packs a lot of power. That's the thing, the cross thing I'm hoping for. The big thing that'll differentiate itself is that it'll be, yeah, you know, it'll be worth it.
Yeah, because you just got a PS4 last year.
Yeah, Black Friday. I mean, I'm not going to get a PS5 anytime soon. There's still a billion PS4 games I can play, so I'm in no rush.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's still going to be support for it probably for the next few years even.
Yeah, I'm waiting on Horizon Forbidden West. I've chosen that as of now.
Which is why when I told you, I was actually surprised by your reaction, because I found out that it's actually going to be also on PS4, not just PS5. And I thought that if that's the bar for you going to get a PS5, is when this game comes out, I'm getting a PS5, that you'd be disappointed that it clearly can't take full advantage of the console because it's also a PS4 game.
No, that's just like, I chose to wait for the PS4 Pro, once I knew, I was going to get a PS4 for, Final Fantasy 15.
Mm-hmm.
And, but once I knew the Pro was going to, come out before the game came out, I decided to wait to bundle those two together, even though the game can be played on either one. Regular PS4 would have been cheaper, the power, whatever, you know. I don't know.
So I know the other day...
it's just what I've chosen. Like, this is when I will upgrade, you know?
So I know a couple days ago you guys talked about Bethesda, since obviously that was the big news on Monday. We didn't have a chance to talk to it yesterday because of, you know, personal snafu yesterday. I'll call it that. And I didn't hear your thoughts. What are your overall thoughts? Because I think it's an interesting move that Microsoft has acquired Bethesda, and or not just Bethesda, but the parent company as well, which includes Bethesda. And I'm curious what your thoughts are and what your thoughts are in terms of the strategy, because it can go almost any way, in my opinion, but I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Well, first and foremost, online things people have been talking about for Sony this generation and next generation have all been exclusives, you know, whether it's Sony gets exclusive beta, or Sony gets an exclusive game, or Sony gets exclusive maps, or Sony gets exclusive characters, or so, you know, people always pointing out Sony gets all this exclusive stuff. This came out of this came out of nowhere. I don't recall hearing much about this at all.
No, it came out of the blue, completely out of the blue.
Yeah. So it seems like a complete power move by Microsoft to have this in their pocket, silent as possible. And here we are within sight of launch of the two consoles, and all of a sudden the exclusives potential just changed dramatically.
Maybe that's actually the thing I'm curious about, because they, Xbox themselves, have been the one to say you don't expect any exclusive for like 2 to 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what they've been saying. And this almost seems to, because that's honestly the main reason why all that talk about exclusives versus non-exclusives is a thing, because of how open they've been about that. And yes, while there is exclusive potential, you know, this isn't the first time that Microsoft has bought a company and continued to release those games on multiple platforms. You know, like
yeah.
Minecraft is a big one. And, you know, let's be real, Skyrim is a game that's, what, 30 million sales across a billion different consoles plus.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think that, and maybe this is just my approach. I know that John Au, one of our video game guys here at the site, he thinks that like, oh, this is a power move. And yeah, they're definitely going to, you know, this is going to be one of the ways they get their big exclusives, da, 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 da. And I'm like, but are they? Because if basically they just have Bethesda, and Bethesda is sort of the big thing in their back pocket, is that really enough for them to say, oh, we're going to have this, this is going to drive console sales? Is that really the most profitable way they can go? Or is it more profitable for them to just release on wide platforms? Will they look at each individual game and say, we'll make more money if we just have this on Xbox Game Pass and then release it on multiple platforms, and then basically go that route? Like, yes, the potential is there, but I'm not fully convinced that like Bethesda going forward is going to be exclusive Xbox stuff. I just don't know if that's the case based on what they've said in the past.
No. In my mind, because of the way their Game Pass thing works, I pretty much now, and most people pretty much should consider a game that's Xbox and PC. You may as well as count the PC
as Xbox. Yeah,
people with them.
Yeah,
yeah. May as well as just kind of combine,
because it's all Microsoft.
You can separate. Yeah, what's that?
It's all Microsoft.
It's all Microsoft. It's all inter playable now, and all that's good and great. And I wonder if Sony will finally get off their high horse and join cross platform.
Yeah, I don't know. They are definitely on a high horse, and I'm not sure if I like it or not. Like, I'm torn. I don't know if I told you this before, but like, I'm torn because for me, the idea of exclusives is like what drives you to a console. So it makes perfect sense to do that. But you know, you have these, I mean, Nintendo is playing their own game, but they're also playing a heavily exclusive game. You know, they're all about exclusives. And so it's, I don't know, I guess we look at Sony and kind of go like, they seem like they're almost being like the stuck up bad guys. But at the same time, it's like, well, maybe because it drives sales. But at the same time, maybe that's just my narrow mindset thinking that, because that's what I'm used to. What do you think?
Could be. Let's see how it could be like that.
Yeah, because I mean, I can only respect Microsoft for basically thinking, hey, we can't win this game. Like, we can't win this exclusive game. That's just not going to happen. So rather than try to just say, hey, you're not going to get exclusives for a couple of years because they're still in development, and then basically leaving our customers out to dry, let them know ahead of time, and then change the strategy so that it benefits them and that we get everyone on a subscription model, which is where a lot of money is anyway.
Yeah, I one thing I had been saying for a little bit was companies that are third party that are making for both both consoles, they're not going to want to necessarily make pennies off of selling their game on your subscription service versus, you know, the full price they're guaranteed to make over at Sony. And but now Microsoft owns so many damn companies.
That's a good point, yeah. But actually, that is a really good point, because it's something that I kind of see over at the author space on Amazon. You have Amazon, this big behemoth that owns pretty much a huge market share in like ebooks and even physical books. And you kind of have to opt into a system in order to be a successful indie author. A lot of people feel like they need to opt into a big into their platform, which is Kindle Unlimited, and like the other things that perks that come with it. And you need to kind of play into the game that they have there. And that requires kind of a race to the bottom mentality, where you're kind of selling your books for a couple of dollars a piece, maybe 99 cents for like a freaking 3-book bundle. And it literally becomes sort of a big race to the bottom, where it's just like, you're just churning out content, you know, 4 to 10 times a year, churning out 4 to 10 books a year, just so that you can, you know, make a profit off of it. And you're just sort of forced to survive in that environment. And I can see game developers in an already, yes, profitable business, but also a business that stretches their workers so much that and cutting so many corners to sort of make costs work. I could see them not wanting to do that long term. Like, yes, this may be a great customer thing, but what's great customer thing may not ultimately be a good long term decision for a business, because it could be, it could already make things that much more tight in an already tight business model for studios. So that is a good question, if something like that is sustainable. Because yeah, $10 a month for Xbox Game Pass. Am I wrong there?
Yeah.
That's a really good deal.
Like, you own a PC, an Xbox One, or Series S, Series X. You can play all of these games for free for $10 a month. Like, how long are you going to keep third-party developers happy with that, you know?
Yeah.
There's
I mean, no. Maybe it might be a situation where, kind of like how there's a theatrical run for a movie, where it's like, it's going to be available for that for like 6 months, under normal stuff for 6 months, and then after that, it'll go to the Xbox Game Pass. And maybe it'll only show up on there for, you know, a year or two, and then it'll go back to just being available sale only. So it could be kind of like hop around. It's not like it's going to be a static library on the Game Pass. Other than their first-party games.
What's interesting is somebody pointed out they named a couple other companies, including Obsidian, and now that they've got Bethesda and whatnot, Microsoft has like the majority of the Western RPG gaming companies now.
Mm-hmm. They just need to go over and get some JRPGs. Actually, they're not going to do that because no one cares about that, or at least their audience doesn't care about Eastern RPGs that much.
No.
I just think it's interesting to me. What have Obsidian made?
They did the crossover Fallout New Vegas.
Okay.
I know that.
Okay.
Because people were like, oh, now that Bethesda's and Obsidian are together, could you get New Vegas 2? So
right. Oh, yeah, I'm looking here. Fallout New Vegas, Outer Worlds. The Outer Worlds, that's the new one that they did. But yeah, that'd be cool. They can do that, I guess. But like, what were you saying before that? It was gonna lead me to something else. Oh yeah, so I've always thought it was interesting, sort of the difference between Western RPGs and Eastern RPGs, just that whole, I don't know, just a huge difference in how they play. Whereas Western RPGs are very much like you create a character. They're based around, I guess, the D&D model, where you create mm-hmm. your own character. You basically personalize everything under the sun, and then you, you know, you go forth on an adventure and stuff, and then everything's catered based on your own decisions that you made and stuff. It's very much a personalized thing. And that's honestly why those types of games didn't come out. Video games didn't come out to like what, the 2000s or so, at least on the relatively decent quality, you know, that aren't just like text-based adventures. And in the 90s and stuff, early 2000s, like the RPGs were just the Eastern RPGs, which they're more on the rails, story-based, turn-based combat type stuff with like multiple characters and multiple party members and stuff. I just think it's so interesting, the huge difference there. Because I know growing up, RPGs were just like Final Fantasy, but now it's just like that's a JRPG, and then other RPG is like The Witcher, which I guess doesn't really fall into that category because it's not super customizable in terms of creating a character and stuff from scratch. But I don't know. It's just super interesting. I don't know why. I think it's so cool just sort of how two different societies interpret sort of a role-playing game and how that's changed over the years.
I've always, I guess, kind of had a similar backing to you. I played Final Fantasy. I didn't play King's Quest or Ultima, and so RPGs like that type of stuff, you know, Western companies thinking Microsoft Windows games, I didn't really play Skyrim. Was it Skyrim or was it the one before
Morrowind?
Morrowind. I think Morrowind was like the first time I ever
that was on Xbox, right? That was like the one that came out on Xbox, the original Xbox.
I think so, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was like my first time, and I was like, you spend too much time in the menu. Like every 10, 15 minutes of gameplay results in 5 minutes of menu time.
Like, though, to be fair, it's not like JRPGs aren't menu intense. Like, it's like all menus.
Well, yeah, but the menus are actually part of the action. In the Western style, the menu is literally just the menu, so you're mixing items or crafting things. You're that type of menus.
Gotcha, yeah. Honestly, I probably would have been more into Western, or not more, but I would have been more than I am now for sure. Because I actually didn't get an Xbox. I've never owned an Xbox, I'm realizing now, at all. Let me think here. I've had roommates who've had Xboxes, but I've personally never owned an Xbox, an Xbox 360, or an Xbox One. If I had been in that ecosystem, I would have been all over Fable. I would have been all over The Elder Scrolls at an earlier age. I would have been all over The Witcher 3 much earlier. And yeah, that's maybe my taste would have been changed differently, or I would have been open to both. But that's so weird. I'm just realizing now, just no wonder I never got into those types of games as much. Just it all is based around the console.
Oh, for you. Yeah, well, a lot of those things hit PC or were made for PC. Which I had access to. I didn't like spending all that time crafting and menuing and
yeah, that's kind of stuff never appealed to me. I've tried to get into tabletop gaming, and it's just there's too much just writing stuff and math, and just like I just want to play a game. I don't want to do homework.
I can at absolute max, I wanted to decide an attribute of an item that I want to attach to my character. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, they do a good job of sort of splitting the difference between that and, like, Final Fantasy VII Remake does a really good job with that, where you spend a good amount of time in menus, but it's fairly accessible, it's fairly easy, but it's also really rewarding.
Yeah, oh god, I love that game. That was a one wonderful experience and wonderfully executed. God, I had a specific word I wanted to use
for remake it, experience.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Any of those words will do, but it wasn't my word, Jammer.
Okay. Well, you're taking forever to get your word.
Just saying. I know. Anyways, yeah, it was great. I love that game.
Meanwhile, all this talk of RPGs, I've been playing, you know, the Super Mario 3D All-Stars game on the Switch, which mm-hmm. is great. I recommend it.
Oh.
That's all I have to say.
Why did, like, it came with what Sunshine?
Yeah, it came with Sunshine, 64, and Galaxy.
Oh, okay. Like, which one of those three did you get that specifically for?
None of them. I mean, none of them specifically. I got them specifically because I wanted the pack. I don't think I would have bought any of them individually.
Mm.
But I was like, you know, it's a pack. I get to relive. I got them all for different reasons. You know, 64, it's like, oh, I get to relive nostalgia from when I was like in elementary school and stuff. And Sunshine, when I was like in middle and high school. And now and Galaxy, college. It's not really nostalgia at this point. That's more of just me. Because for me, actually, Galaxy, I got really far in it. I didn't beat it because I kind of got bored of the idea of sort of running around in planets. It just kind of got old mm-hmm. to me, which is why I never loved it as much as other people. So there was a reason to revisit it and say, like, hey, maybe I feel differently. And Sunshine I always loved, but people always shit on it. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll like that one, or maybe I'll like it less. I'm curious if it holds up or what kind of nostalgia it'll bring. And then, of course, you have N64 version. That one brings all the nostalgia, but is not nearly as playable as the other two, in my opinion. Still pretty good, though. Still really good.
Cool. I failed to finish Ghost of Tsushima without hopping over to Avengers for a while, but then I haven't played games in maybe even a couple weeks, actually. So,
you know, I've been there. That has been a thing that I do constantly. Like, usually I play for a bit and then I don't play for a month or two or something like that. But I still follow the news. It's amazing how much I love following all the news. But, like, I don't play nearly as much as I should.
Yeah. And I still have my game of Seven Remake on hard. Where you cannot use items.
Yeah, no, never going to. So wait, you can only go to inns or whatever? That's the only way you can regenerate your health? Regenerate.
You regenerate your health by sitting on the benches.
Oh yeah, the benches, that's it. See, it's been so long I forgot that was how you did it. That's the only way you could do it, though, is through that. You can't do it through items.
And then your magic points either get restored at certain story points, or if you've got, you know, like MP absorb attached for certain attacks, certain magics, if you've got some sort of item or something that helps regenerate MP, because you can't use ether at all.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no benches don't give you MP, like nothing. Nothing out there gives you MP. Every now and then in boxes, you'll find some MP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think in boxes you can find MP. Maybe not. But yeah, so it's difficult. It's tough as fuck.
Yeah, I wouldn't find that fun. That would just be frustrating.
I'm about to start the climb. So that's where I'm at in that.
So you already passed me where I am currently in normal mode.
Yeah. Cool. I'm about to start the climb. So, but anyway, appreciate you being back on, man. Man, yep. It's been about a week almost. So, yay. Everyone, make sure you check out LRMonline.com every single day for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. The YouTube channel is really great for celebrity interviews. And, of course, the on the LRM Online Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcasts from. Hundreds of hours of great content from shows like this and Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Jammer, where can people find you at online?
You can find me on Twitter at Jam the Writer and all of my stuff, my entertainment stuff at lrmonline.com. And you can check out my novels under the name AJ Serna on Audible and Amazon. I almost forgot there for a second. I'm good.
You can find me at That Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.